How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 197 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there. Leave a review once you're on that page and find us on audioboom.com. You can log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site for more Thunder coverage. I've got a piece up there right now on the kind of precarious position the Thunder are in. About the luxury tax going into this year, they're only $11 million under what the projected luxury tax line is going to be right now with the salaries they have in the books for 2017, and they got to re-sign Andre Roberson, or at least they're hoping to re-sign Andre Roberson, and his salary alone could bump them over, so they're going to have to make moves. Chances are that I don't expect them to pay the luxury tax with a team coming off of 47 wins, so and they still have to bring in other guys. They need a backup point guard, they need some other things, and the roster is not at 15 guys, so they need to make some moves. They need to do some things there. And it's going to be really interesting to see how they operate, how they choose to cut down salary, because they will do that in some capacity. And it'll be interesting to see how they operate with that. I always say I'm on Monday through Friday. I'm still on every day of the week this week. So there'll be a show tomorrow, hopefully with a guest that I'm pretty excited about. But for now, I've got a guest that I'm also excited about in his car. And you can hear that car phone going is from Down to Dunk, Andrew Schlecht.
What's up? Hey, you're almost to episode 200.
That is what 197 is. Should I do something for 200?
Yeah, you got to. It's a milestone. It's a round number. We always celebrate round numbers as people that cover the Thunder.
It's an arbitrary. Every time I see any number now, I just think, you know what? It's arbitrary. The whole time, every time I see coverage of Trump's 100 days, first 100 days, I'm just like, nah, arbitrary number. Even Trump said it's an arbitrary number. And I was like, I can't believe he's saying this. Trump doesn't believe in Westbrook's triple doubles.
That's what he means. When he said that he thought that Kawhi Leonard was MVP. That's what he meant.
Yeah, that's exactly what he was saying. He was like subtweeting the whole MVP conversation. That's all it is.
Right.
I loved it. I love equating basketball to politics. I think it's great. You can talk about how like executive orders are uncontested. It's awesome. It's so much fun. But like every time I see a number, I'm like, nope, arbitrary. Like I got the Yankee game on mute in the background right now, and it's like Aaron Judge is a rookie with 12 home runs in the first 25 games. Nope, arbitrary.
Nope, means nothing.
Arbitrary. Our lives are arbitrary.
What is life? What am I doing right now? Is it even worthwhile?
It's not.
I don't know.
Nothing
Thanks,
that we do.
Tom Haverstroh.
Nothing that we
I'm
do.
I'm Tom
is
Haverstroh,
worthwhile.
And nothing means anything anymore.
Even
the big
most,
number, nothing means anything.
Even the most remarkable people in human history, Joan of Arc, her life didn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things.
True.
It meant
That's
nothing.
True.
Think about how big our universe is. We're specks. We're totally arbitrary. We mean nothing. We mean nothing.
That's right.
We're just like triple doubles.
That's why we're doing this podcast, just to do more meaningless things.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't need this podcast. No one needs this podcast. That's my advertiser. That's my advertisement for this podcast. Locked On Thunder.
Fine.
Locked On Thunder with Fred Katz. You don't need this podcast. That's my slogan. 5 days a week. 5 days a week. Totally unnecessary.
5 days a week. 5 days a week of arbitrary life.
This is what we call the introduction to an off-season podcast when there's just...
That's right.
So what happened since the last time I podcasted? Nothing.
We just make stuff up. This is what we do. from here on out is we make stuff up and we make up ideas. This is the time of year, like in the summer, I like to do like redrafts and stuff like that. I like to get a couple of my buddies on and we'll do like a redraft, which is just absolutely meaningless.
That's a fun idea. It's kind of a fun NBA thing to do.
Yeah.
I am going to steal that idea from you.
It's a fun podcast to do. We've done a few of them.
That is a fun idea. But you know, you talk about how like we're making stuff up now. I mean, you realize it's 2017. Everything the media says is made up.
That's right.
It's all made up. Remember, nothing exists. Nothing's real.
So let's talk about Sam Presti's press conference for just one second.
Sure. Yeah, let's talk about it.
So Sam said that he thinks that Doug McDermott could play at the four some next year. And I took that as Taj Gibson's probably gone. Because if Doug is playing the four, they already have all these guys that can play the four or the five.
And they're not going to play Jeremy Grant at the three if they can do anything about that.
Right.
Like, if they can acquire average three, then they're not going to play Jeremy Grant at the three. They basically stopped playing him at the three with this roster.
Right. I just think that means Taj or Cantor or somebody's gone. Because that idea shouldn't come into your mind unless one of those guys is gone, right?
Yeah, so let's go through the bigs. Currently, they've got Cantor, they've got Adams, they've got Sabonis. I think we can throw Jeremy Grant in there. I had a conversation with Jeremy Grant about this. I told him, I said, I bet you in five years, you're going to look back and you're going to have played more five in your career than you will have played three. And he completely disagreed with me.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, he totally disagreed with me. And in like the most Jeremy Grant way possible, which is like, he's so nice and he's so soft-spoken. So he's like, yeah, I don't really think that's true. And I was like, no, Jeremy, tell me what you really, why do you think that? And he's like, nah, it's not happening. And I was like, no, Jeremy, I think it. I think he's going to play more five than he is three. In today's NBA, it makes sense. You put him on the back end to pick and rolls. And I'm not saying he's going to be a five. He's going to be a four. But I think there are a lot of lineups, especially with centers who shoot threes and teams that go small and bench lineup. Like, he's going to be like a versatile bench defender. Like, in bench lineups that put like Ryan Anderson at the five, like, he makes a lot of sense. So I think how do you feel about that? Where do you think he stands?
Yeah, I don't think he defends threes well, and that's why I think that he's not a wing. He's a big man. He's just a very skinny big man. And do you think it's because of his drive game that he thinks that he's? I'm trying to think of like what other reasons he thinks that he'd be a wing, because I haven't seen him guard threes effectively.
I think he thinks that he's a four. But I just think he doesn't see... We talked about it. The reason that he said was this: he thinks that most centers are too big for him.
Yeah.
And so he was saying...
true.
So I was talking to him about it. I was like, hey, man, even like Marc Gasol and Brook Lopez are shooting threes now. And he was like, yeah, but those guys are still too big for me. If you put me on them, they're going to back me into the post, and I can't do anything about it. So, and this is obviously me paraphrasing, but that was basically our conversation. He thinks he's a four, and I asked him, I was like, do you hate playing the five? Do you hate that? And he was like, no, I don't mind it. It's not a preference thing at all. I just think that I'm better as a three than I am as a five. And I think he understands at certain moments that works, like with the Anderson lineups and that kind of stuff. But he doesn't. He doesn't think that he can be playing the five with some of the bigger centers out there. And I actually agree with him on that. I just think he's going to be playing such little three that the difference is still going to be greater at the five, because he's how good was he at the end? Like, how good is the wrong word? Just how like valuable and useful was he at the end of the year as a four compared to earlier in the year when he was playing the three?
Oh yeah, I mean it's night and day, because he. Like I said, I just don't think that he's good on defense there. I don't think he's great in space. But as a weak side, kind of Serge Ibaka, super light, I think that it makes sense for him. And, I mean, to be honest, how many guys are going to back him down in the post? I mean, there's those guys you talked about, Boogie. I mean, there's just not a lot of those guys out there that are going to do that to him. So, I mean, there's another reason why he could easily play more fives, just because all those, it's just a lot of guys that can dunk, and if all he's having to do is block dunks, I think that he could do that.
Right, and there were times where he played the five and guarded fives, you know, like when Steven Adams was hurt, he started in his place, and he guarded DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan killed him. DeAndre Jordan killed him in that game. That was the game in L.A. That was in January. That was right before the second game in Golden State. But he started that game, and DeAndre Jordan just killed him. He was mopping up on the boards. The biggest problem with playing him at the five is that he's not as good of a rebounder as he could be. And I'm not quite sure why that is. So DeAndre Jordan just, you know, is as good of a rebounder as there is in the entire league and just mopped him on the offensive boards and just was throwing down alley-oops and hurt him. Jeremy Grant's 22 years old and hadn't played the five. 23 now, I think he was 22 at the time. Hadn't played the five. I think that's something he can improve on and get better at. Like, he should be pretty decent at guarding guys in the dunker spot on pick and rolls and that kind of stuff. Like, that's something I think he should be able to improve on and get pretty decent at.
Yeah, I agree with that. What do you think about Sabonis? What do you think about Sabonis' role next year? I know there's just a lot to be seen from that. I think Summer League might tell a little bit of that story. And then certainly preseason. But what are the expectations for him? Because I really have no clue what to expect from him.
I think he'll be better. But I also think that it would be prudent not to rely on him coming into the year.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, it's hard to rely on a second-year guy who totally fell off for the second half of his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard when he's still 21 years old. I think he's going to be a good player. I think it was John Hamm on your podcast mentioned, was it John who mentioned the Patrick Patterson thing?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's like actually a pretty great call.
Well, you know, either John and I are like telepathic brethren, or he kind of heard it and forgot it, or that bastard is flat out stealing stuff from me. But I made the Patrick Patterson comparison.
Oh, you did? I didn't know that.
But it was like 3 months ago. So it's not like I made it and then he made it. It was like 3 months ago. So I was like, that's a hilarious coincidence that we both made that comparison. But that's kind of the thing that I see is like, okay, that's his best case scenario. And that's something that Royce and I have talked about a few times, like the Patrick Patterson thing, that if he can shoot threes and be a pretty good screener and move the ball well within the offense, and that's a good situation for him. Like, if he's Patrick Patterson, that's great for them. I mean, that's fantastic. I think he's a really good player. Patrick Patterson is he's a great third big man.
Right. And what's kind of funny is that the rumor was that Patrick Patterson could have been a part of that trade to get Sabonis.
True.
Which is kind of funny. I guess the rumor package was Patterson, Corey Joseph, and who? What wing was it? There was a wing that they had talked about.
Was Terrence Ross in that?
It wasn't Ross. It was who's the guy from UCLA? The wing from UCLA who's played really well in limited minutes for Toronto. His name is escaping me right now.
Norm Powell.
Yeah, Norm Powell. Yeah, I guess Norm Powell was like that's the rumor that I heard was that it was Norm Powell, Corey Joseph, Patrick Patterson, and the ninth pick for Ibaka. What do you think about that? Like, in hindsight,
I like how you're hosting the podcast now.
I'm sorry, I can't help it.
No, don't be sorry. I have nothing to say to you. So I really appreciate you doing all of the heavy duty work while you drive a car. Andrew, by the way, is using hands free, so we're not breaking any laws here. I assume.
That's right.
I hope.
Of course.
Don't text and drive. Don't talk and drive. Is it illegal to talk on the phone while you're driving in Oklahoma? I know some states it's actually not illegal.
I don't believe it's illegal to talk on the phone. I know it is to text and drive now.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for a while.
Really?
It's kind of crazy. Yeah. For like, it's been only like a year that it's been illegal.
Really?
To text and drive. Yeah.
That's weird.
So I used to just live it up. Text my friends. Driving on the road.
Yeah, you could just get out and be, you know, your mother could look at you and say, "Where are you going?" "I'm just going to send a text. They'll be back in 5 minutes." Going down to the car so you could just send your text. Now you can't do it anymore. It could be, you're defiant if you do it now. I genuinely have no recollection of what your question was.
It was the other trade for Ibaka.
Oh, right. Which one's better?
Yeah, in hindsight, which one would you rather have?
Corey Joseph is a free agent in 2018. He's a good player, Corey Joseph.
He's good. He's a backup point guard.
Yeah.
People wouldn't talk to Sam Presti in the grocery store anymore if he had Corey Joseph.
Are you sure Powell was part of that? I don't remember that.
That's what I heard. I heard it from a friend that knows some things.
Okay. So I had heard that it was, what was it? I had heard that same thing without Powell. So I had heard that it was the number 9 pick, which they would have taken Sabonis anyway. And and then Patterson and Corey Joseph. But I guess it's possible somebody else was in there. Which one would I rather do? Tough. Because Corey Joseph is good for 2 years, but you're kind of then losing him. He's not a great deal. You could flip him. It depends on if Powell is in there. Because if not, like, it's kind of like all kind of filler work for 2 years when you're not quite a contender, you know? And I kind of like that Orlando brought over some young guys, you know, who knows? Like, I like that Orlando brought in Jeremy Grant. I think Grant is going to be helpful for them. He's still so young and can get better. I kind of like the Orlando deal. I mean, they both would have ended up as good deals for them, I think, no question.
Yeah. I think ultimately Oladipo will be better than them. Be better than Corey Joseph and Norman Powell. I don't know that he is today, and I do think that he was helpful to the team, but I still think I would take Orlando's deal too.
Yeah, I think people have got this thing where Oladipo is definitely not going to improve. And I don't think he's going to be an all-star or anything like that, but I think he's got the ability to improve. If only as like developing some comfort level next to Westbrook, which is something they need to work on, and he will work on. Like, that's a thing that he needs. He's a smart dude, and he cares a lot. And those are the two most important traits in trying to figure out a comfort level next to Westbrook. And I think that's something that it's never going to be perfected, because look, even Kevin Durant couldn't perfect it. Like, no one can perfect that kind of thing when you've got a guy who's that ball dominant next to you. But I think it's something he's going to get better at.
Yeah, I agree. I've got to go.
You do. You got to go. You have anything else? You have anything you need to say, you need to plug before you go?
No, just listen to the Down to Dunk podcast on Friday. Should be a fun show.
Great. You should. It is a very good podcast. And you can remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. For now, I'll let you know about scheduling stuff on Twitter and on my shows whenever I figure out what that's going to be. Questions, comments, email me at lockonthunder@gmail.com or find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. Back tomorrow with another guest. Until then, Lockdown Thunder is locking up.